Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to the House of God this evening on our first of our midweek Advent commemorations. Good to be with you. And we are going to be worshiping this Advent season, the midweek anyway, under the theme, Your King is Coming to You. He is a remarkable king. Tonight he comes to bear our shame. He also comes to take our guilt, and he comes to exalt the lowly. That's kind of a little outline of the what's ahead for the Advent season. So a king that remarkable in every respect, because he does not come to be served as most kings like to be served, but he comes to serve us and to save us. And so we rejoice together at his coming. Our service tonight will follow the printed order that you received, and we start things off with our first Advent hymn of the season, The King Shall Come When Morning Dawns, hymn number 348.
The King shall come when morning dawns, and light triumphant breaks, when beauty gilds the eastern hills, and life to joy awakes. Not as of old a little child, to bear and fight and die, but crowned with glory like the sun that lights the morning sky. Oh, brighter than the rising morn, when Christ victorious rose and left the lonesome place of death, despite the rage of foes. Oh, brighter than that glorious morn, well, dawn upon our race, that day when Christ in splendor comes, and we shall see his face. The King shall come when morning dawns, and light and beauty brings. Hail Christ the Lord, your people pray, come quickly, King of Kings.
I invite you to rise as you are able, as we worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. O Emmanuel, our King and our Lord, the Anointed for the nations and their Savior, come and save us, O Lord, our God. Come, O Lord, among us. Jesus, our wisdom from on high. Alleluia. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who led your people Israel by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Enlighten our darkness by the light of your Christ. May his word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. For you are merciful, and you love your whole creation. And we, your creatures, glorify you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Arise, O Christian people, prepare yourselves today. Prepare to greet the Savior, who takes your sins away. To us by grace alone, the true stall and manger low, come now to dwell within me. I'll sing your praises gladly, and forth your glory show.
Please be seated. Our first lesson tonight, our reading from the prophet Zechariah in the 9th chapter. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The 25th Psalm. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me, for the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
Good and upright is the Lord.
Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great.
Who is the man who fears the Lord?
Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net.
Turn to me and be gracious to me. For I am lonely and afflicted.
The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins. Consider how many are my foes, and with what violent hatred they hate me. O guard my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Our second reading is from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians in the 3rd chapter. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject all things to himself. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We join our voices then to sing, Jesus and Shall It Ever Be.
Jesus and shall it ever be, a mortal man ashamed of thee, whom angels praise, whose glory shine through endless days. Ashamed of Jesus, sooner far, let evening blush to own a star. He sheds the beams of light divine, or this benighted soul of mine. Ashamed of Jesus, just as soon let midnight be ashamed of noon. 'Tis midnight with my soul till he, bright morning star, bids darkness flee. Ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend, on whom my hopes of him depend, know when I blush, be this my shame, that I no more ashamed of Jesus, yes, I may, when I've no guilt to wash away, no tear to wipe, no good to crave, no
And oh, may this my portion be, that Christ is not ashamed of me. God's word from the prophet Zechariah in the 9th chapter. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he. And then also from the 25th psalm, our psalm this evening. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. We pray, O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay, my fellow baptized, let's think about what it feels like to be embarrassed and ashamed. You ever had that moment? Remember that awful moment when you realized that your deep, dark secret all of a sudden came into the light and you were exposed. You thought you had it covered. You thought you had it buried deep enough that it wouldn't ever come up. You thought you had it handled, but all of a sudden it's out. And it's right out there in the open for people to point at, talk about, gossip about, maybe laugh at you even. It's out now, and you feel like the fool. You feel ashamed of what you did or what you said. Your guilt has been exposed, and you wish you could crawl into a hole and die, but there's nowhere to hide. Nowhere to hide. If you have been down that path, or even if you have successfully kept your skeletons hidden in the closet, but you fear that they could possibly be exposed one day, listen up, because the Lord is going to do something for you tonight. He is coming to you right now. That's in the present tense, right? Behold, your King is coming to you. And if that sounds like more like bad news than good news, if you're afraid that his coming is going to expose your shame to the light of his holiness, then I've got some good news for you tonight. Shame is such a powerful emotion. And maybe you've noticed in your life that the intensity of shame increases proportionately to the esteem we have for a person. So, for example, If I come upon a stranger in the streets of Timbuktu and that person sees me throw a temper tantrum and I just break, you know, something flips in me and I start swearing up a storm and I'm flipping the bird, and you know, this guy's a stranger, no big deal. We don't know each other. He'll go his way, I'll go my way, and that'll be it. But if that same thing happened and you saw it, now, I would be so ashamed, because I hold you in such high regard. And there's a proportionality between the shame that we feel and the esteem that we have for the person that we're dealing with. And that's why Jeremiah's statement about the Israelites of his day is so shocking. In Jeremiah chapter 8, he says, are they ashamed of their disgusting actions? And then he answers his own question. He says, no, not at all. They don't even know how to blush. The Israelites had so little reverence for God anymore that they felt no shame before him for their idolatry and their adultery and their licentiousness. God might as well have been a complete stranger, because it did not bother them that he knew their guilt. They had lost their ability to blush. As bad as it is to feel shame, perhaps the only thing worse is the inability to feel shame. When we have so little regard for God and for others that we no longer care that they know our sins, how can you save such a people? And of course, we see a lot of that in our culture, don't we? Now, so many sins that once caused great shame, people tried to keep them in the closet. Now they're out in the open, and they are celebrated right in our faces, right? Sexual immorality, greed, drunkenness, coarse language, sloth, anger. We are living in a time when the sins that once snuck secretly down the back alley now strut proudly down Main Street. One pastor said, sin is no longer confessed and repented, but boasted and celebrated. And as we read tonight in Paul's letter to the Philippians, they glory in their shame. Behold, your king is coming. Not only do people not know how to blush in the presence of their king, now they make videos, right? And they put it on X and on Facebook and on Instagram for everybody, as many people to see. They like people to see it. And of such people, the psalmist said tonight, they shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. They don't feel shame now, but the day of their shame is coming. But for you, what's coming? Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. And I'm going to assume that among us here tonight, we still have the capacity to blush and to feel shame. My guess is that most of us here would be mortified if any others of us found out about the skeletons in our respective closets. Because shame is not only painful, shame is also very messy. Shame creates distance between people because it is distasteful to associate with shameful people. Like that sinful woman of whom Simon the Pharisee said to Jesus, Jesus, you should have known what kind of woman this is, that she is a sinner, and the implication, you should have stayed away from her. Shame isolates us because we don't want the sins of others to soil us, and we don't want our sins to soil them. I mean, look at all these politicians these days who are trying to distance themselves from Jeffrey Epstein. You see how we try to get away from the shame, of how shame isolates. And so we stay away to make sure that the guilt and the shame of somebody else is not rub off on us, so we're not shamed by association with someone. And yet, is your king running away from you? Is he trying to disassociate from you? No. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. So Lord, you mean to tell me that when everyone else is walking away, you are coming to me. Lord, are you sure you want to do that? Are you sure you want to do that? You want to come close to me? I'm so filled with shame. I am not worthy of you. If you associate with me, Lord, you're going to look the fool and you will be disgraced. And Lord, probably best that you just kind of keep your distance. And the prophet says, oh no. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. But Lord, you don't understand. I'm contaminated. I'm unclean. My shame is so thick, it's going to rub off on you. To which he says, my beloved, I'm not afraid of your shame. As a matter of fact, I come to you for this very reason, so that your shame will rub off on me. I don't come to expose you. I come to cover you, just as I covered the shame of your first parents in Eden when I made them that animal skin clothing to cover their nakedness. I do not come to make a spectacle of you. I come to hide you in me. I come to be your hiding place. I don't go running away like everyone else. I come to you righteous and having salvation. I come into your shame. I come specifically for your shame. And I'm going to take your shame upon me. I'm going to unite it to myself. I'm going to make it my own. and I will become your shame. I will become sin for you, and I will bear your shame so that you in me might become the righteousness of God. I am not ashamed of you. I am not ashamed to be called your king. When Jesus first came, you know, they shamed him, didn't they? Oh, he's the friend of sinners. Yeah, friend of sinners. And then at his trial, they tried to shame him as though he had done shameful things, when the evidence, of course, proved that he was perfectly innocent. In fact, it was Pilate and the Jewish leaders and the crowd. They were the ones that were acting shamefully. And yet it was Jesus who was shamed. And he was spit upon, and he was stripped and mocked and beaten and crucified. And not in private, mind you. But this isn't out in the sight of everybody. Not in hiding, but they made a spectacle of him. And he's not screaming about the injustice of it all, but he is silently declaring, I am your king. I am your king. The king of shame. The one who is not afraid to get close to us and even be soiled by us. Jesus, whose shame on the cross was not his own, but it was yours and it was mine. That's why he came, righteous and having salvation. So open wide the door of your heart. No need to hide anything any longer. He rules for you to honor you, to show mercy to you, to give you forgiving grace, and to give you a hiding place for the shame that you feel, and to take your shame away. So, my fellow baptized saints, this truth, this gospel, confronts us at our roots. It offers us the gentlest, the most loving and forgiving master, and promises us a place of honor in his presence forever when he comes again. He comes to be our champion, to ride, to fight, and to die for us. But he's a king not in the way anyone would have expected. I mean, and also, he did not come like some kind of a slick, high-priced lawyer to try to, you know, explain away your shame or to prove it wrong or to get you off on a technicality. Oh, no, no. He takes your shame, removes it from us. He owns it and suffers for it and dies for it in his own body. And he says, I am your king. And I'm not ashamed of you. So no matter how great our shame, your shame, no matter how serious the sin or egregious the failure, we are bold in Jesus Christ to say with the psalmist, indeed, none who wait for you shall ever be put to shame. And why not? Because our King was already put to shame for us. So as I said, the Lord is doing something for you this Advent evening. He's coming to you. That in itself is incredible. So filled with shame are we, and yet he comes to us, righteous and having salvation. He comes anyway because he is our king. He's not ashamed of us. Matter of fact, he's the king of our shame. And because he came, we now await his coming again with unashamed joy and anticipation. Let's pray. Lord, my King, you came to honor me, and I trust you with my heart. You came to cover my shame, and so I am covered. Protect my soul, dear Lord, and keep it, for I cannot. Keep me covered in your grace as I await your coming again. Lord Jesus, we pray in your name. Amen. Amen. And may the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We respond then with the three stanzas of the hymn, O Come, Emmanuel.
O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lowly exile here until the Son of God.
Together then we speak the second article of the Apostles' Creed and its meaning from Luther's Small Catechism. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. What does this mean? I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. We join to sing Mary's song.
My soul now magnifies the Lord. My spirit leaps for joy in him. He keeps your time to come. For he alone who shows such might has done amazing things to me. His mercy flows, his name like light remains in time perpetually. His arm is strong, his strength is great. He scatters those of proud intent and casts them down from high estate, then gives the low his nourishment. He feeds the hungry as his own, the wealthy leave with empty hands. He gives his help to Israel, his gracious promise always stands.
I invite you now to rise as you are able, as we go to God now in prayer. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Matthew Harrison, our synodical president, and Kevin Wilson, our district president. For all pastors in Christ, for all the servants of the church, and for all the people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the president of these United States, for all public servants, for the government and those who protect us, that they may be upheld and strengthened in every good deed. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who work to bring peace, justice, health, and protection in this and every place, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who bring offerings, those who do good works in this congregation, those who toil, those who sing, and all the people here present who await from the Lord great and abundant mercy, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For favorable weather, for an abundance of the fruits of the earth, and for peaceful times, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our deliverance from all affliction, wrath, and danger and need, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those we know and love who cry out to you in sickness or in trials of any kind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Rejoicing in the fellowship of the saints, let us commend ourselves, one another, and our whole life to Christ our Lord.
To you, O Lord.
We pray, O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless and preserve you.
Amen.
Come, thou precious ransom, come, only hope for sinful mortals. Come, O Savior of the world, open our to thee all portals. Come, thy beauty let us see, anxiously we wait for thee. Enter now my waiting heart, glorious King and Lord most holy. Dwell in me and ne'er depart, though I am but poor and lowly. Ah, what riches will be mine when thou art my guest divine. My hosannas and my palms graciously receive, I pray thee. Evermore as best I can, Savior, I will homage pay.
Jesus, hear our supplication. Let thy kingdom scepter crown bring us blessing.